Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I do want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, June 14th of 2023. And I do, sorry for the tiny bit of a late start, but I had had a court notification that basically said that they were having a technical difficulty with the system. Hopefully that does not continue. You know, the little, that tiny little difficulty that, you know, where they said, you know, we are experiencing a tiny little, you know, we're experiencing a problem with our system. Please call back. But that being said, we're back on. And I'm thankful for that. Hopefully you're tuning in. Hopefully you didn't get that same notification. If you did, then, well, feel free. Log back in because we're here and we're here. We're on.
We win!
Yay! I know. Yay! We win because God's on our side, and when God's on our side, we do win.
Amen
because,
to that.
Because, and by the way, it's not like Satan and the devil had a boxing match where Jesus almost lost. It's not like that. He won. He won, and he's fighting for us. He's still fighting for us. And you know what? We win. We win. We win. He gave us power over sin, power over death, power. He gave us power. And I thank God for that. Now I do have a guest, Jade, here that I want to interview. She has a craft business. So what does your craft business do exactly, Jade? What is it?
So my business is called Jaded by Design.
Okay.
And my whole point is to bring beauty and creativity into everyone's lives.
Okay. Yeah.
I make jewelry with beads and wire, crystals. I use resin sometimes. I also crochet things and I paint.
Oh, wow. And also you happen to be a vendor at the Comic-Con that we had here in town, here in Midland, like 3 months ago now. Was that the first event you were ever at?
No, it wasn't the first event I was ever at, but it was certainly the biggest that I've ever attended. I had previously been to 3 other craft shows that were probably not even an eighth as successful as that one.
Where were they at?
They were at the Midland Mall as well. They just weren't well known.
Was one of them like Sintanka or something from a few years back?
No, it was all from 2022.
Every one of them were from 2022?
Yep.
And none of them, and some of them weren't very well attended at all.
The other ones that I went to were not well attended at all.
And like, so what made the big difference, do you think, honestly?
I think that for the Comic-Con this past year, they had a lot more word of mouth advertisement. They did a lot of advertisement on social media. They had a lot of flyers out and a lot of other small local businesses telling their communities about it. There was a lot more preparation that was involved in the entire event, whereas the other craft shows didn't have that much planning behind them.
Where Comic-Con is planned, thought out.
Yes, and the man that was head spearing the entire Comic-Con, his name's Paul King, he did such a wonderful job of getting the word out, networking with different companies, different businesses within the Midland community, but also Saginaw and Bay City. He did so much advertisement. It was just an amazing, amazing show.
Yeah, it was. I was out there for a lot of it, and that place was packed, like to the gills. I was told that, I'm not sure I had seen it like that, other than with the exception of the food court. I'm not sure I had seen it like that at any Christmas.
I don't think that I've seen it that packed since Christmases, probably in the 1990s.
I feel like at that time when it was only in one area of the building.
Well, we were both kids then, so I don't have that great of a memory, but I do remember it being packed when I was little.
But part of that might have been more so the food court and stuff.
It could be.
Yep. And, of course, Radio Shack, because back then, everybody went to Radio Shack to get their electronics.
Oh, yeah, that's very true.
Of course, Radio Shack is now a distant memory because even in the early 2000s, it seemed like not many were going in there.
Yeah, they certainly seemed to have a decline in sales and people that were going there kind of around the same time that Best Buy was getting bigger.
Yeah, I think people went to Best Buy instead of Radio Shack. Or as my mom once called it, Radio Snack.
Why did she call it that?
Being funny, when we were going to a lot of different malls, you know, out of state and that. Because I do that when I go out of state and we go to different malls and that. But one time, back 2011, she was being funny. We were going by different stores in the mall and what have you. And one time, to be funny, my mom suddenly said, Radio Snack.
Oh, that's funny.
She did. So she did that. Another one my dad came up with was J.C. Million.
That's funny, too, because they have so many customers.
J.C. Million instead of J.C. Penny, like $1 million.
Right, because they have so many customers. They're making all that money.
That's the joke behind. And then Eddie Bauer was Eddie Bohr, like Eddie Bored.
Oh, no.
maybe it was just my dad, not sure how to spell Bauer or something, but he said Bohr.
No,
and then pay more for less shoes. Probably why they went out of business in 2019 before COVID even hit and the whole chain goes bust.
I don't know. I never had an issue with them.
But the joke is pay more for less shoes. That was the joke.
Yeah.
So I thought it was just maybe Midland where they were because it was just. But I think you know there were some different things. Part of it could have been you know got to where people could find them for less maybe at Walmart, Burlington. And then, of course, you know, Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Amazon's got everything.
But anyhow, so, like, I understand you've done tons of different designs.
Yes, I do a lot of different designs. I work with different colors and different materials. I like to incorporate just about anything I can get my hands on.
Does that include, have you made any toy stuff?
I have in the past. I have made dice with resin before, and I've put things inside the dice, like glitter and different natural stones. I didn't do a whole lot of those, though, because I didn't sell many.
Were they tactile dice?
Yes. They did have divots in the where the number dots were.
But the holes weren't quite the same as mine?
Probably not quite as deep.
And, of course, they came with the dreadful one, or those of you listeners who have ever shared with you this story, the one, when I get a one or two, I go, what? Because it's something that I do not want.
That you do.
And there's no... There are no dice without whats, are there?
Definitely not.
Anytime we play dice, there is a chance of whats.
You know, I've... also made a lot of stuff with nature, too.
Like?
I've made wind chimes and sun catchers.
What's that do?
So a sun catcher, the ones that I made out of things with nature is we had to, unfortunately, cut down a tree. And so I would take the branches and I would create either circles or squares. And then I would hang chimes and really big beads that would catch the sunlight and sparkle and glitter. So I'd incorporate even stuff from nature.
Oh, wow. So like that by sun catcher, does that mean it would kind of create shade?
It would create light and like if you had it in a place where the sun would shine through the charms or the crystals, you would be able to see a rainbow displayed on a wall or whatever it was shining against. It would sparkle and just kind of catch the beauty of the sun and its, you know, the charms that were hanging.
Nice. What other kind, did you make any, like, Coca-Cola themed stuff or anything like that?
I haven't yet, but I'm always open to custom pieces.
What about like some Christian stuff? Have you made like some things that have like verses on them or anything?
I have. I've made different pens that I've decorated and covered with resin so that they're reusable. You just change out the ink within the inside. I've had some of those that have verses on them. Just recently for a sister in the family of Christ, I made a keychain that has a lamb on it because God is our good shepherd.
Yes, he is.
I also have made quite a few necklaces and bracelets that have different cross themes on there. And I'm always trying to think of new and even cooler ideas.
And you never know, you'll never know until you try. That's part of the thing.
Right.
Nothing like that. Gotta be nimble.
Gotta be
able to walk and chew gum at the same time, even though not everybody can.
Right, metaphorically speaking.
Because some people just cannot. They cannot chew gum and walk at the same time. Like I actually can. I've done it.
Have you?
Yes.
I can chew gum and walk at the same time too.
But you actually know people who cannot.
I don't think I've ever actually met someone that couldn't, but I've heard of it.
The idea.
The same.
It's just a metaphor thing, the whole walk and chew gum at the same time.
Right.
But they mean being able to be focused on both and not just kind of have it in your mouth.
Right. Being able to multitask.
That's all they mean by that.
Yeah.
Even though most people actually can do both.
Right.
And many do.
Yes.
But because nobody that I know says, oh, yeah, you can walk and chew gum at the same time. Yes. Anybody can do that.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people struggle with it too much.
What about maybe ride the zipper and chewing gum? Now, that I'd like to see.
Oh, that could be dangerous. What if you choked on it?
What?
Yeah, I don't think that'd be a good idea.
Not even the Himalaya?
Probably not. Better safe than sorry in that instance.
Take it out. Don't be doing that while you're on the ride.
Right.
While you're on the ride at the fair, because otherwise you might end up having to get off the ride.
Yeah, that's really good.
You might have to get off the ride early, because meaning prematurely, where they have to stop the ride.
Oh, wouldn't that be awful?
Yeah, it would. And I'm not talking about because of thunder.
Right.
Even though if it did, of course we'd have to.
Because I'm sure they have rules about that, yeah.
Do you bet it lets finish the course, or do you bet it has to stop right there?
I think they'd probably let you finish the course of the ride, but then they'd probably have everybody get off.
And no second time, no second go around.
Probably not.
And no going backwards.
Definitely not.
We won't be going backwards, and we won't be going faster. Or might they make us go faster just so we can, you know.
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Meaning, might they make the ride go faster just so that they finish quicker?
I don't know. Can they even do that?
That'd be cool if they could, but I would make it go faster so they could do more spins.
I bet everybody would love it if you were in charge of that, then.
Yeah, wait. What other kinds of stuff have you made with the whole art thing?
I've made, besides jewelry, I also make resin items. I've made a lot of jewelry boxes. I've made bookmarkers. You can make journals. There's a lot you can do. I'm always constantly trying to learn new techniques, new crafts, and bring anything into my business that I can.
And Alexis does some rather similar stuff.
She does. Her stuff is super awesome. It's very, very, I think the word niche-y, is that the word? Something like that.
Niche-y could be something like that.
Yeah, she's got some really awesome products that you can find whatever it is that you're into, anime or different characters, old school themes like the Magic School Bus. She crochets really well. She does a lot of awesome stuff too.
And of course she did the booth with you.
Yes, she was so nice and so awesome. She decided that she'd come and she would go have these on the table with me. I didn't have a whole lot of merchandise at that time, so we shared the space, and it was just very awesome. That actually what led me to start working with you.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
And then over the course of time, you know, you gave your life to Jesus. I don't want to say found the Lord, because people will say, you know, I found the Lord. Oh, no, you didn't. He was never lost.
Yeah, he found me.
He found us.
Yep, he never gave up on me, and that was, I think, all in God's plan.
It was.
Yep.
And even people might think, are you sure that wasn't, that these certain things aren't God's plan? Well, in this case, this was.
I really do believe so, yes. I truly feel like God made that whole occurrence happen so that I could see.
For a reason.
Yeah, yep. I had been running for a long time from God. I really had, and I am so glad that he never gave up on me.
And sometimes it takes certain things happening to get people to come back to God.
It does. It does.
Because sometimes they don't always just instantly say, okay, I'll come back.
Yeah, it took a minute. I don't know if you remember, for a while there, I was kind of on the fence. But, boy, God just kept going after my heart. And now...
He had to get that heart. He had to get that heart of yours.
He sure did. And now I am hopelessly in love with my Heavenly Father. I love my Lord more than I ever thought was possible. So I can't even imagine how much he must love me.
Yes, it's not like, oh, I guess I'll convert. I mean, at first it might have been like that, but then you just hope you go more and more in love with them, which is Christians were supposed to.
Yeah.
Because he's supposed to be our first love. He should be. And anything you put in front of God, it's called an idol.
Yeah.
If you look... Because an idol is something you put in front of God, like beyond what you had in God. And that could be anything. That could be your own children. That could be a husband. That could be a wife. That could be, you know, it could even be things that God gave you. But no, you don't want to have idols. Because God said, that's one of the Ten Commandments. And the thing is, have no other gods before me. Part of that means no idols. No idols, because anything you put in front of God is an idol. And then you're doing what's called idolatry. And that when you're doing that, that's dangerous.
It really is.
It's not like, oh, it hurts God's feelings. No, no, no. It's not about that. Because he wants for him to be your first love. That's how it is with us, folks. But honestly, so how long ago did you start doing this art stuff anyway?
Well, I've been crafting and doing different art projects pretty much my entire life, but I haven't really been serious about making it into a small business until about 2 years ago, I would say.
Yeah, coming out of COVID. Well, got you interested in it, doing it as a business.
I wanted to be able to make a living off of doing something that I love to do.
Right.
And I had been told that I was good at. I had a lot of people that came to me and said, you know, you could really sell this stuff. I'd buy some from you. I did have a few people do something called a commission. So they asked me to create a specific piece. And that's really what spurred me into deciding that I wanted to make it an actual business.
And that's really neat. I'm sure with Lex the same kind of thing.
She hasn't told me her business story. It's something I'd love to hear from her though.
Yep, I'd be curious myself, because obviously she's done Pampered Chef for a while. Have you ever done anything like that?
I have, and I was never very profitable about it. I am not a very pushy salesperson. A lot of times with the that type of market, you have to be very proactive about getting your customers. And I just... Exactly. I'm more of the hands-off kind of seller. I like to put something up either on a table and you come look and see if you'd like something, or, you know, on a website that you might be searching for. But I wasn't very good at the act of going out, talking, and trying to convince someone to buy something.
Push those wrenches. Buck those orders. Push that cash register.
Right. Pampered Chef, I love the products, but I just wasn't very good at that type of salesmanship.
Yeah. The reason I was doing those certain noises like that is because apparently that's how you're supposed to be.
Right. Very active, very positive. Outgoing, which I am in most areas of life, I think, but when it came to sales, that wasn't my bag, so to speak.
Well, I'd seen even at Con where Lex was all like, person.
She has a great energy about herself. She really does.
She really does. She really does, and I don't mean it like, you know, about someone else or anything like that. But I just mean it like, you know, and I'm sure God's used you to do it, especially now.
I really hope that he will use me in whatever way will best benefit him. That's something that I've, since I have given him all of me, I pray, you know, just use me, whatever it might be. I am hoping that eventually I can, bring a way to bring my story of how I came back to God and how he has changed my life completely into my business so that I can reach other people. Just kind of show them like, look, there's light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing, because I was in a really dark place for a while and God brought me out of that.
Yep. The thing is yeah. And then sometimes, you know, we be going through our darkest hour and then, you know, someone just there and someone comes and tells you or whatever.
Right.
You know, because at some point throughout our life, every one of us will have a certain time or whatever that is our darkest hour, whenever that is.
That is so true.
I mean, for me, it might be different than you. And it might be a different thing that made it that way. You know?
Yeah, we all have our own walk that we have to go on. But the amazing thing is that God is with each and every one of us during those walks.
Including through that battle, regardless
exactly.
of what it is. And, you know, there's something that I know I've heard it from my mom and I've heard it from others, and I say it myself now. The victory is greater than the battle.
That is so true.
It is. And what would you tell someone who is looking to get into the kind of business that you're in, like you running Jaded Design? What would you tell somebody?
First, I would tell them, make sure that you're passionate about it.
Gotta be passionate.
Yeah, there is nothing easy about this business except for the passion that comes for the artwork. The second thing I would say is find your niche. Find what you're really good at, you're really passionate about within that art area. And then learn to, if you're going to do craft shows or specific events, learn to kind of curate your merchandise to whatever that theme or that goal is.
So that it'll sell, because if you don't, it won't sell.
Exactly. That was a hard lesson I had to learn.
And it took you a couple more craft shows to learn it.
Yes, definitely.
Was one of them a Christmas show?
No, I've actually never done a Christmas show.
And you've never done any Christmas stuff worth decorating ever?
I have done Christmas crafts, but it's all been gifts for other people.
None of it was stuff that you were selling, like...
Correct. Nothing for sale. Yep. Definitely something I'd like to get into this year, though.
Especially since, you know, a week from Sunday, we'll hit that halfway mark, that halfway back to Christmas.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it's already halfway there.
Yeah, it will be. And then over the next few months, you'll have to kind of look at some designs and kind of, you know, because they say Christmas season starting sooner every year.
That's true.
Yeah, at least At least it seems like it, even though it doesn't always, you know, at least it seems like it. Because it seemed to me for a couple of years like the creep was slowing down, but then the creep came back again. The creep meaning, not meaning now it's creeping earlier and earlier again, I mean.
I feel that. I do. I feel like it gets a little bit more special each year.
I mean,
year,
the creep is getting earlier and earlier.
Yeah.
To where, I guess in some stores, there's Christmas stuff out in September now, I guess.
Oh, my goodness. You're kidding me.
We saw some stuff at Dollar Tree on literally August 31st in Dollar Tree here on South Saginaw Road in Midland. I'm not kidding.
Oh, wow.
And at that point, I'm like, no, I'm not even thinking about Christmas. I'm not even thinking about Christmas music. I'm not even thinking about crowd projections. I'm not thinking any of that. Right now, I'd be like, at that point, I'd be like, right now, the projections that I'm thinking about right now are based on, like, football projections, you know?
Right, not exactly the...
Not Christmas projections.
Right.
Not any kind of, like... You know, at first it's like, can we at least start football first? And then when we get to like, end of, you know, November, what about end of October, November, you know, with the first weekends of November.
Right.
That you watch because sometimes those first couple weekends of November can be very telling, you know, so that's why you watch those and then kind of go from there, you know?
Yeah.
But like even designs, you know, if you want to get into the Christmas, you know, you'll just start looking at some of those in the next couple months. All right. I want to thank you, Jade, for coming on and interviewing with me tonight.
Well, thank you so much for the interview.
You're welcome. Now, Father's Day is coming up Sunday and I want to talk to you about that for a minute. You know, there are natural fathers. There are spiritual fathers. And natural fathers could be either the form of, your mother had you. Excuse me, your mother gave birth to you. And if you were married, you know, in wedlock, she had you through the marriage. And then the one she was married to was your father. So it either came that way or you might have been adopted in.
There's
natural fathers. And then there's also spiritual fathers. So that could be like a godfather or that could be your pastor. Your pastor could very well be a spiritual father, someone you look up to. You should look up to your pastor. You know, be in a good church. You know, God's placed him over your life. You know, God's placed him over your life. Then there's also the Heavenly Father, our God. Think about that. So when we say Father, like Father God in that sense, we shouldn't be saying it like it just has no meaning, like we're might be talking to a natural dad. No. It's the God who created us. That's our Father. It is our Father, Father God. And when you say Father God and when you pray, think about it. Think about the fact that he is Father. Don't just think of it as some cliche thing, just to kind of think, you know, it's fit for a team or whatever, you know. No. He's the Father God that made this earth. He's the Father that made our natural fathers. Think about that. No Father God, no natural father. Does that make sense?
It does.
You could, which obviously also means no mother, which means no you. But anyhow, you know, and I do want to encourage you, you know, on the natural side, I do want to say this. Call your dad this week, you know, our father on Father's Day. Even if you can't go see him or get him, you know, something he likes, or at least a card, don't get him a tie that he won't wear. If you're going to get him a tie, find out first, please. Please. Mm-hmm. Don't just get him a tie he's not going to wear. I think we've thrown enough ties away in this country. I know that some of the material for those come from trees anyway. Maybe not. But the whole environmental stuff, if you want that, go to someone else because I don't do that here. But nonetheless, we've thrown away enough ties. And enough hammers. What's the other useless gift people? I've heard ties is one of the most useless ones that people get their dad. What's another big one? Hammers?
Probably.
Wrenches? Stuff like that. Make sure they're going to use it first. Go ahead and get the card. I'm sure they'll read it. He should read it. He should read it. Hopefully he does. And I like to get my dad a nice funny card. I do. Sometimes I get him a serious one. Sometimes I get him a funny one. And it's something that I enjoy doing, you know, on Father's Day, you know. And I thank God for my father being brought into my life when he was, because the man who's now my father, we had met a Living Word Church back in the late 90s, early 2000s. He first started going there in 98. Yeah, but then, God has turned him into the man that he is today. And I thank Jesus for my dad. When I was little, we used to pray. Me and my brother both used to pray for a dad. My mom would be praying for a dad for us two boys, as well as for a husband for herself. But with us, it was about with us, when we were in the room, it was about a dad for us boys. And I'm sure, you know, it was also about a husband for her. But I thank God that he came into our life. And I know that was by design that he is our dad now, not by accident. And I will never be sorry that I'm not my dad. I will never be sorry for that. I thank God for him. Dad, if you're listening, thank you for the man of God that you are. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. I love you. I'm sure my brother does too. I'm sure my mother does too. And all those others, and I just want to thank you, Dad, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing him into my life, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. And so, let me just see here. Let me just check the clock. Okay. And so, okay, now we're going to get into, you know, a normal thing. But anyhow, listeners, please, do something nice for your dad over the course of this Father's Day weekend. Please call even if you don't get to see him, call him, please. Send him a card, you know. And if you have it and you make a mistake, don't burn it. He'll probably get mad. He might get mad at you if you do. Okay, hopefully not. Okay. And also I will say this real quick. Fathers are to be the leaders of families. Fathers are to be the leaders. We have a problem in this country where daddies are weak. We have to fix this. Sometimes a lot of the dysfunctions that we have in our country that can be led to lack of good father leaders, which can also be traced back to lack of God, lack of church attendance. Times we really want revival in this country, you know, if we really do, I pray we do, if we want to get America back fully, we have to get back to church. Our fathers have to get back to being the leaders that they're called to be. They have to. Don't you agree? They have to.
Yes, they do.
Because if they don't, if we don't, it'll continue down this path. We have to get back right with God so that God can use it. Okay, I promise I will be extremely extra quick, express quick on these two, you know, quick housekeeping things that I do. And then we'll sing a couple of songs and then get to the Word of God. First thing I want to do is remind you real quick about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been. And in that, and yes, you know, me, you know, my man who's now my dad is in there. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for that. And you can go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles. That is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com, to find out information about the book and how you can get it in your hands. Number one, okay, so that's that. The other thing I want to remind you about real quick is about the PayPal. And you can go online to paypal.com to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. If this has been a blessing to your life, I pray it has been. And after all, this is my first rodeo. Okay, it's not. Okay, no, it's not. I've been at this for, it'll officially be 6 years as of Tuesday, the 25th of July. It will have been 6 years since I first launched this, but God's been faithful. He really has been. I'm so grateful for these listeners who have come on board, joined us. You can go online to sow your seed, go into the program, go online to paypal.com. In the search bar, type in Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Two real quick things. Number one, the first R in Rivers is capitalized. And then also the S in Shukla, also capitalized. Number two, there's a space between Rivers and Shukla. Please make a note of that. The verse I want to sow into your life tonight. God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He so loved the world that he gave. He so loved the world that he gave. That means he gave. His only Son. His one and only Son, Jesus. Amen. Now I'm going to sing a couple of songs real quick. If you would please cue up number one. Tap me when it's ready.
Yep.
Nothing can separate, even if I ran away. Your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have your mercy for me every day. Your love never fails. town. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh no, your love never fails. The wind is strong and the water's deep. I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. No, never fails. The castle was far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails. No. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Yeah. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Then when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh no, your love never fails. Hallelujah. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Now, I'm going to forego the other couple songs that we're going to do. And I'm going to, instead, folks, I'm going to do something I always do at Father's Day. Good, good Father. Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like. And I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers. We're all searching for answers, only you provide, and you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so unexplainable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, love, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who you are. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. You are a good, good father. You are a father to the fatherless. Thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on us. You are there with us. Great is your name, and greatly to be praised. Beautiful for situations. You're so beautiful, Father. Thank you for what you are to us, who you are to us, what you mean to us. Thank you, Master, for that. Thank you, Master, for every one of these listeners who has decided to tune into this program tonight. Thank you, Master, that you meet every one of their needs tonight. You know what it is that they're believing you for. Thank you that they've come with expectation. Expectation. Waiting for you. Expecting you to move on their behalf. And thank you that you meet these needs represented by these listeners. And thank you, Master, that for just for that you've anointed me to bring the word tonight to these listeners. Thank you that you've that these listeners will be able to focus on this word and be able to turn aside from the distractions and be attracted to this, and that they would receive what it is that you have for them tonight. Because I know you have great things for them tonight. And I thank you that they will receive what it is that you have for them tonight. In the name of Jesus. And now I make my confession over this program. I say thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come to this program. I thank you for more and more listeners tuning into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom because of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Go with me, if you would, please, to the book of Genesis 3. And we're just I'm just teaching a little mini-series right now called The Beginning. The Beginning. And we're talking about, like, what led into what led into this. So I'm going to begin with verse 1 of Genesis 3. Because I had all of it. Yep. And well, we talked about this a little bit last night. We'll look at this a little more tonight. What happened to them? Like, what exactly happened with that serpent? With Adam and Eve? So I'm going to begin with verse 1 of chapter 3. And it says here, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree from a certain tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for making one wise, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. There it is. Eating of the fruit. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made clothing for themselves. And the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they heard from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. you will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. To the woman, he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you not to, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, and for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flashing sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Adam lay with his whole story. Look at the first few verses of chapter 4. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant, gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth the man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain with the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you do not do what is right, sin lieth at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out into the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother, killed him. Look at a few more. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground. It will now or no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain lay with his wife. He became pregnant. Gave birth to a son. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son, Enoch. And then I'll turn it there. So Adam and Eve, you know, they were the first two humans that walked about on the face of the earth. Adam and Eve. And then, you know, God had told them that because of the sin that they had made, you know, the sin that they had committed, he told them specifically. He specified. He actually specified, telling them that because they sinned against him, that they would be banned, not only from they would be banned from ever taking from the tree of life. Initially, they were allowed to eat from the tree of life. You know why it was called the tree of life? Because then they would have been allowed to live forever. They would have been allowed to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Yeah, they would have been able to live forever. And I wonder if that means they would never grow old. Do you think they would ever grow old, or do you doubt it?
I have no idea.
That we may never know because it never made it that far. But then, you know, they ate from the tree that they were told, do not eat from it. And basically told the serpent that he'd be crawling. He'd be down on the ground crawling forever because of what he had done. All because of what he had done, he was just going to be crawling, and that he would eat dust forever. I don't know about you. I wouldn't want to be eating dust forever. Would you?
No.
Like, what? No more dessert? No more pizzas? No more burgers? No more chicken tenders? No more French fries? No more ice cream. What? I'd be like, did you woohoo? If you woohooed, that's not a yay. That's a punishment.
Yeah.
When you've been given that and told you no more did this, no more that, no more dessert. No, that's a punishment, man. That's a punishment. I don't know about you, but I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't. You think of that what you want to, but, well, but then, you see, Adam and Eve, you know, they're both sinned, and they hid, he hid, and then, you know, He didn't, She didn't kill him right there. But, you know, because of what they had done, that not only them, but no one would ever have the chance to live forever. No one would have the chance to live forever. Ever. Not on Earth, I mean. They wouldn't have the chance. And that's just how it turned out to be. And then basically told Eve that it's going to increase your pain in childbirth. Originally, it wasn't supposed to be super painful when a woman would have children. But then because of what he did, and she said, well, I'm only saying well like that because we might say it like that. And she basically said, well, that serpent deceived me. And I ate. At least at first, Adam and Eve weren't exactly lying. At least they weren't exactly lying.
Right.
Imagine if they had been lying about it. That would have made it a whole lot worse. Had they actually lied about it, too.
But they did try to make it seem like it was somebody else's fault.
But they made it seem like it was the serpent's fault.
And the wife's fault.
Like they made it sound like, oh, it's Eve's fault. It's Eve's fault. Oh, it's because of Eve. It's because of Eve. Eat it all. Eat it all. The serpent was like, eat it all. Eat it all. Literally, I'm sure. Because that serpent is all crafty. I'm sure he's sounding all crafty, even trying to be like, eat it all, Eve. Yeah. You know, trying to just persuade her to get up there and eat the fruit that she is told, do not eat the fruit. She's specifically told, do not eat the fruit. Yet, because of that serpent, she just decides to get up there, take a bite, eat some of that fruit, and go give some to Adam. And then, yep. But then, you know, thank God Jesus died on the cross for us. It doesn't make what Adam and Eve did right. But, you know, he paid the price for our sin. So that we wouldn't have to kill an animal now in order to talk to God, in order to repent. Made it so that we could repent from turning from our wicked ways. And if you're so tired of repenting, stop sinning. Have you ever thought of that? If you don't want to have to repent, stop sinning. Have you ever given that a thought, folks?
Maybe a time or two.
Yeah, that may be if you just stop sinning. But then again, the Lord does say, all have fallen short of the glory of God. I mean, we all have. But he's just and he will forgive us. And he knows our hearts. He can tell whether our intentions are good or evil. Obviously, he'd rather them not be evil. Hopefully, they're not evil intentions. But then Cain, Adam and Eve give birth to Cain and Abel. Cain offers, tries to offer his sacrifice, but God's not happy with it because he was doing things not right. Abel, he was bringing out, good portions of meat. Yeah, he was. He was bringing out portions of meat. And and he looked on it favorably because he knew the hearts between the two. And Cain, not only did he kill his brother Abel, see, when God asked him where his brother was, rather than saying his brother was dead, he said, I don't know.
Am I my brother's keeper?
Am I my brother's keeper? But he essentially lied. I call that a lot, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, rather than saying, he could have just told the truth right there and said, he's dead. I killed him. But he didn't. Instead, he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? But that's literally what he said. And then he said that told him that he'd just be a restless wanderer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he gets so mad at God over his punishment. Parents, like some of your kids do when they get grounded, and they're told to go up to their bedroom, and they lose certain privileges for a certain amount of time. Or you know, he's like, my punishment is more than I can bear. And obviously, he's all mad about it, and he's not happy about it. But then Cain, you know, goes on and has other children. But you see, that was the beginning of the world. And I'm sure that's not the only thing. I'm sure that wasn't the first thing that Cain ever did wrong. I can just picture Cain and Abel being told by their dad, their mother, there's certain things that they need to do. And then I can imagine that Cain decides that he wants to go swimming. I can imagine that Cain decides that he wants to go swimming instead of helping his dad do the work.
Really?
I can just picture that's what would have happened. Like, well, he would find a reason to be like, it's hot. I don't want to do this work. I don't want to pull the weeds. I don't want, you know?
Yeah.
Or instead he might be like, I want to go swimming. Or I want to do this. Or I want to do that. And then, but then, you know, then it turned into like, well, God didn't look favorably on Cain's offerings, but he did look favorably on Abel's. And then he got mad at Abel. People get mad at others over the craziest things. It's unreal. And the first murder on earth happened right there. Fall of man because of Adam and Eve. But, you know, we have God on our side, and he's willing and able to forgive us when we do wrong, and we turn from it. And God helps us. And he loves his children. He really does. He loves them very much. Those of us who are his children, he really does love us. It's not just something that we say. It's not just a little song we sing or anything like that. We truly do. He truly means it when he says that he loves us. And it's something that I know for a fact about him, is that he really does love us. He really does care about us. He really does have our best interest in mind. He really does. Just thankful that he would do that for us because of his love for us. And it's not by chance at all. Anyway, do it for us. And he loves us more than a natural father ever could love us. He really does. Over the next couple times that we come on, you know, we'll deal with Noah and what happened there, as he would tell people, you know, the flood's coming. Other people were trying to tell the people, there will be no flood. There will be no flood. There will be no flood. You know that? Yeah. Other people would say, there will not be a flood. They were telling him, no flood, no flood, no flood. But then God, you know, sure enough, God brings the flood. And it rains and pours for 40 days. Hopefully not in July.
Right.
In the southern U.S., because then in my mind, or anywhere in the U.S., because in my mind then, it's like the summer is a lost cause. Because after all, I can only imagine, like it just rains and pours the whole month of July. No outdoor pools anywhere because they're all closed because it won't stop raining. Maybe by that point though, it'd be enough so that school can start on August 21st.
That'd be nice.
Maybe then we'd have more time to squirm. Yay! Oh, wait, maybe not so fast. What? What? They're still going to start on August 21st? No! I'd be like, no, you're not. I think it was during the spring. Honestly, I think it was during the spring. Because then, you know, the sun came over the water and dried up the water. I honestly, I don't think it was July, August. You don't either?
No. I think the months were probably numbered differently.
Yep, on like 601st year of the sixth month. And it says that it was in the seventh month, or whatever, that the waters were dried up. But because it was like a whole 12-month process, that means in July it would have still been waterlogged somehow.
Right.
Which because, you know, early in time, it's not like, why can't we go outside? Why can't we let off these fireworks? What, you know, obviously we didn't have those either. But nonetheless, you know, the God we serve now, he's compassionate. He loves us. And he promised he would never flood the earth again. He really did. And, you know, so thankful for his kindness, for his mercy. Now, just because he's merciful does not mean that we just have a right to go out there and break hedges and, you know, break and not follow the commandments and, you know, and just go about there, you know, being dishonorable and all that kind of stuff. No, but he loves us so much that he's quick to forgive us. Our Lord Jesus, he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Not on earth, but like, you know, in heaven, and that we would have eternal life in that sense. And so that's what he was talking about, because life on earth, you know, we lost that.
Who would want it these days anyhow? I'd rather be with God, thank you very much.
Amen. But the sin wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Adam and Eve.
True.
The sin wouldn't have happened. And all this bringing people down and all that other stuff, gossip, tailbear, that wouldn't be happening either. But maybe there would be no cloudy days. Maybe it'd just always be sunny. But the springs would always be watering it.
That wouldn't work for everybody though, because I love cloudy days.
What?
I do.
Well, today when it was cloudy, you and your kids saying that it was cold at the city pool.
Yeah, but what I say, it's hot.
I heard some of those kids.
Yeah, some of them did say that.
They were, and they said, it's cold. And I'm like, but in my mind, I'm thinking, you guys aren't even on the deck. You guys were on the deck in your swimsuit, maybe you would be saying that. No wonder why the truck that was sitting there wasn't making much today.
Right.
And what were those noises anyway that truck was making?
I have no idea.
I mean, with the ice thing.
I didn't hear any noises that were not normal.
They probably had to crush the ice or whatever. Is that because when they sell some?
Probably.
They have to crush more ice. But then again, folks, maybe it would just always be... Maybe you'd have your choice to always be in the sun or the shade. You'd have dominion. Yeah, and you could plant a tree instantly right over you, maybe. Maybe it'd be like that. Maybe it would be that you could have just planted a tree over you. So you could have your shade, and I could be in that water under that sun, and then go sit under that sun, under said sun, and sit there with a Coke.
That sounds wonderful.
With a Coke that was made from the snow cone machine. Here's why I'm thinking of that. I think if you can turn water into wine, she can turn a snow cone into a Coke.
That sounds perfect. Diet Coke for me, please.
Okay. It needs to taste a whole lot like regular.
For you, it would, because he made it, so it'd be perfect for all of us.
Yes, it would. Or we could also have it made a different way so that it could go from only making seven flavors seven flavors of snow cone to making like 80 flavors of ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
And making like cookies and cream and making a cookies and cream ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just sitting there eating it while you're on your tube in
I
the
like
pool.
I like this.
I like this too. Next time I'm there, I need to talk to one of the people that makes it and tell them, have you found out a way for this machine to produce ice cream?
Perfect.
And different sizes so that they're not just tiny.
Right.
Because sometimes somebody needs a nice big ice cream.
It's so true.
Sometimes they need, and I love it where we go to a place and you get order a small ice cream that's actually very big.
Me too.
I like that.
Me too.
I don't like it when I go to a place and order a medium and it's not even that big.
Right.
No. Let me order a small and have it be huge.
Exactly.
And by the way, while you're at it, top it off. But you don't tell them to top it off. You just hope that they do.
Right.
And just load that baby up.
There you go. Sounds perfect.
You say miracle. You say, wow, Miracle Man, are you hungry? No, just thinking about, different, food stories. Sure enough, that's how Adam and Eve thought it was a good idea to eat the fruit of the garden.
Probably.
Maybe there was a secret Reese's hidden under that apple. That's what I like to think it was. I like to think there was a Reese's hidden under that apple. That's probably part of what made it look so pleasing.
Possibly.
A Reese's peanut butter cup under the little... What would it be under? Under the little skin? Hidden under the little skin of that apple. And there was a peanut butter cup when you bit into it. A peanut butter cup. Part of which was probably split between the two of them. That's the downfall. If only there was a different apple that had a good peanut butter cup in it. That didn't have all that other stuff in it. just say it. And I'm asking for a friend.
Right. I think that'd be great, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever heard that where someone says, hashtag, I'm asking for a friend?
Yes.
or whatever, you know, someone else saying, asking for a nation. This one would be asking for a planet.
Right.
Yeah, because I want to know what it was about the apple that made it so tempting that they just couldn't resist it. Most of us in this country, will eat a good apple, but what tempts us? A big fat Reese's.
Right.
And we see it and it looks so good and we can't wait to eat it. Or something like peanut butter mousse.
Mm.
Oh, don't get me started on peanut butter mousse. It's this delicious thing. I just tried it for the first time. Man, that thing was pretty good. Maybe it would be even better in ice cream.
Oh.
Do you feel like it would be even better in ice cream?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Kona ice cream. Can you make something with this?
I like it.
Yeah. Just start taking stuff and having to mix it in there.
I like this plan.
Like, and then me being like, yeah, and then me coming up to it, I'd be like, well, why do I have this bag of stuff? Oh, nothing. then I just go in and be like, can you do anything with this? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like to the truck people. Be like, I'm sure it'll sell. People will see it and be like, I want that.
Right.
Like, is there a way to put, to mix some candy maybe in with some of those?
That would be so nice.
Do you know if there's a way?
I'm sure there must be.
There has to be. I got to get to work, as they say. We have to figure out something over the course of this summer. All right. Thank you, Father, for this word tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that you are so good to us. You take such great care of us, Lord God, and I thank you that we would be doers of your word and not hearers only. And I thank you, Father, that you are our Father, and for what you mean to us. Thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Psalm 91 to you. And I do want to encourage you, please call your Father. Well, at least, if you can't spend time with him, at least call him. Tell him you love him. Happy Father's Day. And folks, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everyone.